my inbox and what do I see? Just another day, another T-R-A-D-E. I'm an addict, and I need it in my veins. I'm an addict, otherwise I feel plain now. Every day I wake up, people got a problem. Making all these trades up, got me singing got them. But I've been paid up, I even started from the bottom. See, I don't wait up, I ain't even playing possum. So what it cost, I'm just a couple of firsts. Can't believe that it worked, not to say I'm a jerk. But I'm an addict, it's what I said in the first. You can curse all you want, you can pray in your church. But I'ma keep tapping return, I win up, I learn. I ain't trying to burn any bridges, I yearn. For the feeling I earn, all my winnings to turn. You had a cheek before I drop you like the beat. I'm an addict, and I'm not really ashamed. I'm an addict, I'm reclining with the brain. I'm an addict, and the pot is what I'm playing. I'm an addict,
Russell Rocky.
Other names, Trade Addicts 5. Let's go.
I am Frank in the chat, and I have a trading problem.
I am Rocky Petrella, and I also have a trading problem.
I am Scott Sidlow, and I additionally have a trading problem.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to session 367 of the TradeX podcast, where even though the network went away, the dApp is always here to stay. So drop a dApp if you're with us. We appreciate all of you. And today we have an old friend of the show coming back and joining us. We have Scott Sidlow. Scott, why don't you tell everyone who you are, what you do, and where they can find what you do?
Back where it all began. Yeah. So many years ago, before I had kids and businesses and all that shit. So yeah, it's good to be back, guys. At Scott_Sidlow on Twitter. I've just been doing some random stuff here and there, jumping on random podcasts. If you follow McGlynn, I've probably been on with him and his cronies a bunch over the past year or so. So really not doing a lot of content as much these days, kind of focusing on my still 50-ish leagues and honing in on all that, trying to get rid of lineups and things. So getting more efficient as time goes on. But yeah, that's what I've been up to.
Well, good. It's good to have you back. Before we get into news and everything, and I realized I didn't even write a question of the week, so I'm going to make one up on the fly. But while I do that, Scott, what's a guiding principle you have in trading?
Yeah, so I feel like trading has changed a lot since the early days, what I would say. I think there's two schools of thought at this point, mainly like the people that want to like have a whole conversation about it and, you know, like, let me call you and let me text you and let me tweet you and let's have this whole thing and, you know, and let's talk it out. And then, whatever the opposite of that is, that's me. Just send me the trade offer. Okay. Just send me I can't
the talk to of trading
clicking buttons.
Most leagues, all of my leagues are at least 12 teams, some of them 14. I'm in a 45 team, a 36 team, a 48 team. So that's a lot of league mates. I don't have time to discuss everything. Just send the offer. So my guiding principle is to try my best to respond timely and to always counter. Even if it's a shitty offer, I'm still going to counter, because a lot of times what I'm finding is either people think they're smarter than everyone else or think you're dumber than everyone else, or I guess depending on which way you want to look at
it. And people that think you're dumber than
they're going to go low. They're just going to start low, right? So why not? Let's counter and let's see if we can actually put things together. Because for a long time, I was just like ignoring them or rejecting them. And there are definitely some repeat offenders that I still do that with. But for the most part now, I'm trying to counter every trade just because, you know, it turns into more trades than you think. At least it has for me.
Yeah. No, that's good. Since, like I said, I missed a question of the week, I'm going to reuse one of mine. Scott, who was a player or like a spot in the draft you weren't? Did I crash? There we go. Where was a spot in the draft you were trying to be? Was it early second? Was it late first? Were you trying to get a bunch of thirds? What were you trying to do?
Yes. So the
first one is going to be your answer. Yes.
Yes. All of yes. them. That's it. Yes. Just yes. Kind of. Yeah. Kind of. So top 16, but like that 12 to 16 range, would be my first preference. So early second, to maybe mid second. And then, and, or that pretty much anywhere in the third round, early to late, those third rounders. I've made more, and I heard Scott Connor say this the other day too. He's made more third round picks this draft class than ever before, just because we're hammering all these running backs. There's even some tight ends with some value. So yeah, it's third round's a great spot to be, where I'm actually making picks as opposed to trading those away.
Is there any particular running back or two you've been hammering in that third round?
Yes. Basically, I think my most rostered, Jarquez Hunter, Jordan James. Those are my top two rostered guys. And then,
what about Devin Neal?
Who else is there? So Devin Neal tends to go earlier than Jaden Blue and Devin Neal. I don't have a ton of. They seem to go before it gets to me, or I'm taking somebody else. Looks like a bunch of some Dylan Sampson, and I guess the other guys are later than that. So it'd be fourth round for like Taj Brooks. That's going to be late. So yeah, probably Jordan James, Jarquez Hunter, the two that I find I'm most hammering there in the third.
Nice. I know Rocky and I have already kind of touched on our answers, but mine was kind of in the second and stacking some thirds. And Rocky, your answer was what you wanted, kind of early seconds for the running backs.
Yeah, and I mentioned, I said this multiple times on the podcast, I feel like I'm higher on Jackson Dart than most people. Yes. He often falls in that 111 to 202 range, and I'm loving it and picking him every time.
Yep. I'm with you.
Yep. All right, let's get to the news, and we're going to bury something forever tonight. It's the thing that I would attribute to me being like noticed on the show for the first time. I would say like this is one of the first things that I was really commenting about.
And also one of the things I've gotten the most comments on from people in TA leagues and the Patreon and the Cool Kids Club and all kinds of shit for my take on this guy.
Hey man, so, I said Will Levis was going to be top 12, so I don't, you know. But Brock Purdy got a 5-year, $265 million extension, $181 million guaranteed, with a no trade clause. I thought that was interesting. And then Heath Cummings gave a stat on his show today. He said, since Purdy has become a starting QB, there are five QBs who have played at least 20 games that have more fantasy points per game than Purdy. And it's the people you think it is: Allen, Lamar, Burrow, Hurts, and Mahomes. Which is kind of a crazy stat if you think about it. Because obviously I did check the rookies. Purdy beats Caleb and Nix. He loses to Jaden. So it makes sense. But Scott, what do you think of Purdy now? What do you think of the Niners offense going forward now? Break it down.
I mean, it's hard to fade Shanahan because he's proven it year after year after year with all different types of players and different teams and all that. But it definitely seems like they're a little bit shakier than they've been in the past. Yes. Like, I don't know. Like, there's CMC is very divisive right now. Like, I'm seeing him traded for like thirds, you know, like it's crazy his value. And then in some leagues it's like I'll send out offers and it's like a counter with a first. I'm like, I'm not giving up a first for him. I mean, you could, no one would be shocked if he was like the RB1 this year or a top three RB, right? And then also no one would be shocked if he plays two games and his career is basically over, right? I can't remember a guy with that varied range of outcomes. You know, year to year, obviously anybody can get hurt, but the fact that we almost expected at this point, and that offense is just different without him. So, you know, it's interesting. It's part of one of the reasons I'm loading up on those Jordan James shares, just because like, I know Grendo's a beast, but he's not really Jordan James, a little bit more all around guy, pass catcher. Like at some point CMC is going to get banged up and those guys will be on the field. So it's interesting, you know, IU coming off the injury. I know they're optimistic about it. I think I saw something that said he might play week one, but even if he does, we know they start slow coming off the injury, and IU tends to start slow as it is. He's had a couple seasons where he started really slow. So I don't know. It's going to be, I guess, not as clear as in the past where we've just been like, smash every player on that offense. I mean, Kittle still to me is a smash, but everyone else is a question mark, and Ayuk's going to have a lot more on his shoulders now. That offensive line is going to go through some changes. So will he have the protection? Will he have the, you know, the players? I don't know. Shanahan kind of trusting him to figure it out. But it's, you know, as far as his contract goes, I mean, he definitely earned it. And I mean, he's paid, if you look at where he ranks with like all the quarterbacks, annually, it makes sense to me where he fits in. You know, we'll just see if he can continue to keep up that crazy Heath Cummings stat. Cause that's kind of wild to me.
That is wild. And yeah, I know I need to talk about Purdy here too, obviously. I mean, I can't knock what the guy's done over the last 2 years, but my worry is that I'm not that hard-headed that I'm going to knock what he's done over the last couple of years. But my contention has been, too, that I am worried that I do think a lot of it – I mean, part of it is, like Scott said, Shanahan. But also I felt like a lot of it was the talent around him. And it's kind of funny he's getting paid just as all that talent looks like it's going to go away because Debo's gone. Ayuk is banged up, and we'll see if, you know, hopefully he should be healthy by midseason and good to go. And I know he got paid and all that, so he might be there a little while. But the other big one, like Scott said, is McCaffrey. Like, even if he plays this year, is he still Christian McCaffrey after yet another serious injury? Maybe not. So I don't really want to go buy Purdy just because I'm worried about all these things, but I'm very interested to see how this year goes. That's the way I'll put it, because of if McCaffrey isn't McCaffrey and if Ayuk doesn't play until later, it's just not the same player for the first half of the season. It's basically Kittle and a bunch of guys, if that's what happens. So can Purdy produce with Kittle? I mean, he did bad, not too bad with, you know, Ayuk had the injury last year, and he was throwing to the Juwan Jennings and occasionally Ricky Pearsalls and stuff like that. So, and he still has that stat. So maybe he can do it. Maybe he's better than I think him. If he does it this year and Ayuk is not healthy all year and Christian McCaffrey isn't his normal self, I'll be all in on Purdy.
Yeah, the Pearsall truthers are going to come after you for saying he's just a guy. But no, I agree.
Until proven otherwise.
Yeah, right. Juwan Jennings and, yeah, you know, the whole crew. But no, I agree. I think the best way I've always put Purdy is he's just a floor guy. He's going to get you 18 to 20 and there's going to be times he's going to get you 25 and 27, but it's not going to be much more than that. He's not, you know, the Lamar ceiling. He's very good floor, though, which is
up those 45-point weeks.
No, but, you know, he's going to get you a good amount of points, and he's very stable. Trying to think of names. Would you rather have Purdy or Bo Nix?
Bo.
God, that's a tough one because I don't fully believe in Bo Nix either.
Me neither.
I think I would go with Purdy just because of Shanahan.
Yeah.
I mean, Nix has Peyton, so I mean, there's that too. Mm-hmm. But Purdy's done it longer. So,
well, just value wise, where are they at? Like,
Purdy's behind him.
Purdy's behind it. Yeah. Okay. So that's all I was thinking. Okay. Yeah. I'm with you.
Purdy or Dak Prescott, who got his weapons last week.
Oof.
I will take Dak, but I'm higher on Dak than most.
For the price, I will take Dak because I think he's cheaper.
Agreed.
There's a six-year age difference.
That's not nothing.
But
Dak's sneaky old, by the way.
He's 31. So, Yeah.
Or Purdy, Sneaky Young. I don't know. It's one of those two.
Right. Yeah. I actually might go Purdy there. Although, I mean, I'm a Dak guy just because of his cost. But if we're just picking, you know, if we're in a startup and I got to pick one and it's between those two, I'll probably go with Purdy.
All right, I'll do one more. Purdy or Trevor Lawrence? Everyone's new reclamation project.
Purdy.
I'm on the same page as Scott. But
okay.
The semi-disgust in his voice is also in mine when I say Purdy.
Yes. No, I get that. All right, we'll burn through the rest of this because it's all kind of minor stuff. Derrick Henry, 2-year, $30 million extension, $25 million guaranteed, by the way. That's not a one-year deal. That's at least, no. That's definitely two.
How old is Henry? 31?
That's a good question.
Yeah.
I think he's 31. Yeah.
Just curious. I mean, that's wild to get 25 million guaranteed. He is
31, yeah.
At 31 years old, yeah. At running back.
He's a machine. The Steelers asked about Chris Olave. The Saints are not considering it. That would be fun, by the way. Just Saints do that. Just
they do tried for Ayuk too. So
yeah.
And Stafford.
Yeah,
that would have been fun.
That would have been great. Ian O'Connor said Rodgers could join the Steelers by the end of the month. Saints are not interested. Jordan Ronan, who's the ESPN Giants reporter, says Dart will sit his entire rookie season if things go well, which I think is the thing that everyone's laughing at. Because
yeah. Have you seen the Giants schedule, by the way?
It's so bad.
Brutal.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm a Bears fan, and I'm pretty sure Chicago's like their easiest game. Yeah. I mean, it's just crazy. Just
because they're going to be like 2-8. He's starting by midseason.
Yeah, for sure. And then Sirianni got a 6-year extension. Congrats, all you Eagles fans who hated him until the Super Bowl and then now like him again.
Not me, by the way.
You still hate him?
I was always
Rocky never hated him. He was like the one rational Eagles fan.
Yeah.
And then all right, Rocky, tush push vote tomorrow. What do you think?
It's ridiculous that there's even a vote. That's what
it's stupid.
It's so stupid. And I said this again, I feel like I've said this a million times on the pod.
Doesn't matter.
The push doesn't matter.
Yeah.
The actual pushing of the tushing, it doesn't matter.
The pushing of the tushing. Yes.
Yeah. but no, it's like I said, I said this a million times. Jalen Hurts already has it by the time they're pushing.
Agreed.
So it's so dumb 600 to me pounds. Anyway.
He doesn't need Boston Scott to push him there.
So if they want to outlaw the actual push, as long as they're not outlawing the play, I don't give a crap if they outlaw the push, really, because I don't think that's going to affect anything. As long as they can still run the play without pushing Jalen Hurts' behind, I think they're still fine.
Yeah, totally agree.
And I think Frank froze on us. There he is.
I'm back. I'm sorry to the listeners. I'm in a new apartment with new Wi-Fi. I'm trying to get everything sorted. I'll be better next week, but I'm literally in the middle of unpacking boxes. So I agree. He squats 600 pounds. Like I said, don't need Boston Scott to push him the rest of the way.
Yeah, but if you hear that, the tush push was bit, as long as it's just the actual pushing part, don't think this is any worry for Jalen Hurts getting all those rushing touchdowns because they'll still be able to do it.
I agree.
Or handed Barkley. Who cares?
Yeah, right.
Score the damn touchdown.
I think what people will ask is what this means for Hurts. I think it means nothing. I think he's going to QB sneak just fine.
Yep.
Exactly. Yeah.
So, all right. Scott, would you like to do the trade addicts trade or the listener questions?
I'm kind of dreading the questions, so let's do the trades first.
Okay. Trade Axe leagues are 12 team super flex PPR tight end premium with 1.75 per tight end reception and 0.05 per return yard in all leagues except TA1 because they will never break, they'll always hold. And we have a TA1 trade,
two of them,
which, by the way, this is largely the Rocky version of Trade Addicts trades because I think all
ready for content. Yeah, I sucked at that today. I had no time on my hands to do that. So we'll start with Mike Evans for Jalen Knoll and a 2026 second. I love this trade.
I feel like I should go last on all of them since most of them.
Scott, you go first.
All right. So, I mean, this is classic, you know, contender versus not. I mean, I'll take, you know, Knoll. Where's he going? In the third at this point? Early, mid, third, somewhere in that range? So
late second, early third is where I've seen him
trade. Okay. Yeah, I've generally seen him in the. I actually set up my ADP the other day, so I think I've got him at 302. So yeah, that's basically what, a third and a future second. I mean, I'll take Evans for that, no problem. If I'm, you know, if I'm contending right now, and if not, if I just want to shed points and get something for the future, then I'll take the other side. So it's really just a classic context needed contender versus non-contender.
Yep. For me, I agree. Contender, non-contender. I like the pieces on both sides, though. I would do this if I was rebuilding.
Right value. Yeah.
And I was getting the points, so I just I think I threw something else. I can't remember it. The second and some other small piece, and he switched it to Noel. That was fine by me. I actually went into dispersal, I think, in TA1. My team's kind of a mishmash, but I definitely lean more towards the points because the other two guys in the dispersal were definitely going for the rebuild aspect of doing a dispersal. So I just like figured I'd zig and try and contend this year. Even my team was middling last year. It's probably only slightly above middling after the dispersal, but these two trades at least help get me a little more points, and maybe I can sneak in there and do something.
Does anyone ever leave a dispersal feeling good about their teams? Like, I feel like that's like
a... I actually, a couple of years ago, won TA4 after a dispersal. Okay. So.
There you go.
It's just me,
I felt good about that. I did the same thing then. I went more towards the points, but I think there were better assets. Like, my team in TA1 is not like you're going to look at it and go, oh, my God, you're winning the title now just because I did these couple trades. But I'd rather make the push than with what I already did anyway than trying not to. Yeah.
Yeah. No, that makes sense. The next trade is a 2027 first for Jalen Waddle, and this one feels stupid easy to me.
First all day.
Smash. Oh, okay. I'm the other way. All right, so you go first, Scott.
So I love Waddle. And in fact, on our back in the day, Dynasty Junkies awesome post, actually pre-draft mock that we did with the DLF boys. I took Waddle in that draft, and I was like all in on him. He was my guy, and I still love him. But I don't know what's going on there. I mean, are they using him out of position because of Tyreek? Is Tyreek going to go away? Is this like people think it's going to come back? I don't know. I don't know what's going on in Miami, but I kind of figure I think Mike McDaniel's been figured out a little bit. So I don't know. Waddle's not been good the last few years. And I'm loving the 26, 27 classes. I want to load up on those picks. I just think it's a receiver. It's replaceable. His production is certainly replaceable. So unless you think he's just going to all of a sudden smash this year, which I don't see what proof you could have of that or how you could feel good about that. I'm going to take the 27 first, and I can do something with that later when I need, you know, it's May. So I'm not worried about it. Just give me assets that I can maneuver for what I need later in the year.
Yeah. For me, I think Waddle's still got a lot in the tank, and we have no idea what the heck is happening with Tyreek Hill right now. So if you're telling me I can gamble a 2027 first, I can get back in 6 months from now for chance he's the wide receiver one in Miami, that's what I'll do for that.
That's and basically I where I
know which one Rocky did. So
yeah, I've always been a huge Waddle guy, and that's basically where I was with this, and just a belief in the talent. And he's still only 26, which is not super young, but it's not remotely old either. So, right. And like you said, he can definitely see it's Tony in the chat says, I got Waddle for a 25 second and third. I've been getting offers for my Waddle in that range. And it's, I'm like
getting offers for your Waddle. Is
yeah, I know. I realized it after I said it. Because I have lots of shares of Waddle, though. But
hey, yo.
And I don't even consider those. Like, I need a first to part with Waddle to even think about it. So, but yeah, so that's what I was thinking. And like you said, with whatever's going on with Tyreek, and he's retiring after this year, right? So, yeah. After 2025. Oh, but yeah, so he's got a chance to be the wide receiver one there and get it, you know, a target bump too in the near future. But again, 26, like you said, I can get back the first. I know people are think it was on here. We were talking about last week or 2 weeks ago that the 27 class is looking real spicy. Mm-hmm. So I get that too, but I'm willing to part. I'm always willing to part with first 2 years out as long as for somebody who's worth a first. And that's what I did here.
So I eliminated the last few weeks of the season because he didn't play or didn't score or whatever. So weeks 1 through 14, he was wide receiver 34 average. Weekly,
I know he was not that
good. So if he's okay, let's say he's wide receiver 28, and it's the end of September. You think you're getting a 27 first for him?
No,
0.0% chance.
But my question back to you would be, how many games did Tua, Waddle, and Tyreek play together last
year? Yeah, well, fair point. But then also, what's the backup plan? Zach Wilson.
Yours.
Good luck with that. So, it all is going to go back to Tua for me.
Yeah.
And that's going to
hates Tua.
Be
a I was going to say, if you're out on Tua, then I get the point.
Very much have been since the day he was born. Yes, so
exactly.
I hate Talia while I'm at it.
It's just because he's lefty, to be honest with you. That was the main reason from the beginning. So that's pretty much it. But then you add in everything else at this point. I don't know.
I get that.
He's not going to like this next trade either.
But. Well, so I'm going to skip over it because it's Waddle again. And then, so Waddle for Damian Pierce in a 2027 first. So,
well, according to Rocky,
it's just the same thing, basically.
That one wasn't me.
Nothing? Is that what you called him? Yeah.
Yes. Insignificant. So,
is Pierce still a Texan? I actually don't know.
But he is still a Texan. So. He's still on his rookie contract. But here's the thing. That cost you a roster spot. So I actually like the trade less. I'd rather just get the 27.
I hear people say that. I never care about costing a roster spot because I almost never fill out my entire roster because I'm too damn lazy to do it.
Yeah, I am too in some of my leagues, but I've gotten better about that. Last year, it was one of my goals to actually do some waivers, which was really, really fun. That's my getting problem, players on waivers. It was like
when you're in as many leagues as we are, and I'm not even as many as you, I just... 90% of the time I can't be bothered with waivers. There'll be like 2 weeks during the year I'm like, okay, this is the week I'm doing it, and I'll go through 30 some leagues and put waivers in for all of them. That's it. And I blow like $100 on some guy who doesn't deserve it or something.
I'm not even in 30 some leagues and I'm too lazy to do waivers.
There you go.
All right, let's jump back to TA8. Cam Ward for Tua and Tyler Shuck.
Easy. Cam Ward. Give me Ward. I get actually. I think the value is good. I like it from the standpoint of like potentially two starters. You know, splitting an asset. But I just think there's so much risk with both of those guys. Mm-hmm. A year from now, it is most likely not. I shouldn't say most likely. It is more likely that a year from now that neither of those guys are starting, and Cam Ward's about to start year two of his. Even if he's god awful year one. He's still going to have some value because he was the first overall pick, you know? So it's like the value insulation of a quarterback with that draft capital, versus two guys that, I mean, to me, Shuck is the next Levis, right? Like he's got the upside to be a starter, but he could also literally be replaced, when they have the 101 next year or in 27 and then just take Arch Manning. I mean, it's just going to be the Saints are atrocious. I don't see how they're going to be winning, you know, eight games unless Shuck is him, which is possible again, but not likely.
He's not. I'll tell you that right now.
Yeah.
But I will take the Tua side only because I would take Tua over Cam now still. And I know. That's probably a hotter take than it should be, but
it actually makes sense because you're getting the proven guy with the production now, and you're still getting the upside shot with Shuck, right? So you're kind of getting both. So it makes sense, and it is good value. I totally get both sides. So it's just a preference thing, right?
Shuck is going to play games this year. Yeah. I don't think there's any argument he's not. So, that makes sense.
Right. Yeah, and that was where I was at. I got the two aside. And I'm higher on Tua than Scott is because Scott is about as low on Tua as you can possibly be. And I think I'm higher than consensus anyway. But yeah, I'm kind of with you, Frank, where I don't really believe that much in Cam Ward. I did pick him. I think it was like in the middle of the first, just a couple weeks ago in TA8. But it might be middle to higher than the middle. I don't remember. But yeah, and like you said, you get the upside shot with Shuck. It looks like he's got a decent chance to start games this year. Maybe if he shows a little bit, I can flip him for something decent.
I would.
Yeah. So that's hopefully the plan. But I just would rather have Tua myself, and I still think Tua is a long-term starter. I get the concussion history is very worrisome, but if he doesn't, then if he doesn't get another horrible concussion that we all watch on national television again.
I mean, lead the league in passing and you're still like QB 13. So it just,
yeah. And I don't ever expect, I meant to throw that in there. I don't ever expect Tua to be like a top five quarterback or anything, but I don't ever expect Cam Ward to be either. So
that's the other thing. Ward is never going to be that guy that's going to get to that point, even if he hits his ceiling. So
right.
you could actually argue that the Tua side's safer from the standpoint of you have a producing veteran who's going to give you points. Mm-hmm. So makes sense.
Yeah. The last trade is Terry McLaurin for a 2027 first and the 26th fourth that just had to be there.
Just had to be there.
But he actually wanted Taj Brooks. And so I switched to a 26th fourth.
Good save. Scott, what do you think? Do you like it. McLaurin?
I feel like he's definitely taking the first if he's not taking Waddle for a 27th first.
Yeah, so unfortunately, the only couple opportunities I've had to acquire McLaurin were for a 26 or a 27 first, and I turned those down. So, yeah, clearly I value the first more. And it's really about – now, if it was a year ago, I would be more inclined. But, like, we had the season we had. That's great, but that's over. And I'm not going to pay for the past, especially when they added all these pieces. I expect that offense to be better in ways, which means probably worse for McLaurin. And he's sneaky old if we're talking about, you know, like Dak being sneaky old. McLaurin, I think, is closing in on 30. So, yeah, I'm going 27 first.
Yeah, I looked before I made the trade. He's 29.
That's crazy.
Yeah, that is crazy. Yeah, I think he was older when he came out. Like, he was already close to, like, 24 maybe when he came out. 23. Yeah.
Rocky, was this you or do you want to go?
Yeah, this was me too, but I can go first and then you can say what you think about it. Basically, I agree more with Scott here than I did on the Waddle 27 first trade. I more just was willing. This my TA9 team is definitely getting older anyway, and I'm trying to finally, like, I've been like 12-1, 13-0 in this league. It's been around for 3 or 4 years. I've been hanging around at the top and never winning. So this was more just about, and my receivers my receiving core is not great to begin with, which doesn't really matter in May. I get that. But I also wanted to make a trade for the show too. So, but I just wanted to kind of go, I'm kind of going all in on this year. And my team, I don't know, it's definitely going to be like a mess by 27. Like, that's going to be the 101. But I got maybe this year, next year, and then it's probably falling apart. So I'm trying to kind of load up. And I feel like, I don't know if I consider it an overpay, but I get why Scott would want the 27 first more here than I thought on the Waddle trade.
Yeah, for me, I think just touchdown regression has to be coming for McLaurin. And there's too many other weapons there now for him to be like the guy. So that's the only reason I'd get out on McLaurin for a 27 first. So moving on to the listener question that Scott is dreading.
Just one of them.
Just one of them. Do you want to do that one first or last?
No. Okay. Just no.
So we're going to start with Jonathan Smith at DFF_SJonathan02. He asked to talk about some trade offers not in this Cool Kids Club, and I'm pulling them up as we speak. So I already know Rocky's answer to this. 12-team, 1 QB, would you rather have Bowers or Genty, Scott?
Oh, wow. Wait, did you say one quarterback?
Yes.
Oh, Genty. Genty.
Does one quarterback matter?
It does. It does. I assume if it's one quarterback, it's not tight end premium. So that's why I mean, how many one quarterback tight end premium leagues are you in?
Five. No, I'm kidding. Zero.
Yeah. I actually, one of my last remaining one quarterback leagues that's been around for a long time, literally nuked today and said, it's over. We're going to do a new like super flex startup. Like yeah. We're done with this league. They just decided it. So it's like, okay, cool. I get it. One less one quarterback league. But yeah. So to me, like, I understand you could say like talent or whatever. I don't care because I don't care about tight ends in a one quarterback, non tight end premium. Don't care. Genty all day.
Tight ends don't matter. Rocky, how many picks on the Genty side to get to Bowers?
Now I agree with Scott. Like if you're assuming this is non tight end premium, yes. It's a lot closer. I think I still might take Bowers just because I feel like I more know what I'm getting and it's
you're a
more
sycophant.
Positional advantage. But okay. What,
Scott? Let me ask you this. Okay.
Oh, good. I have an ally. All right.
Okay. Here's the deal. I love Bowers as much as anyone.
I'm also a huge Bowers fan.
Okay. He has Bowers fourth in non QB super flex rankings.
In tight end premium.
Okay, that's
in
a super little...
in TA scoring.
Okay. Here's the thing though. That offense now has Chip Kelly. No matter what you think of him, I think he's a douche and you know whatever, but at the same time he knows how to run an offense and he's got a professional quarterback and they've got pieces now in the offense, and so I believe that if it is a healthier offense, it's actually worse for Bowers from what we're trying to accomplish here. Like, could he be more efficient, still have a bunch of touchdowns, and is he still going to be great? Yes, but will he have 150 targets? Probably not. If they have,
it is a better offense and they'll probably run more because they have Genty, but it's not like they upgraded the receiving core.
I mean, they
got a better quarter in theory, a better, more professional quarterback than what they've had there.
Correct. So those are good things, but I also think that a healthier offense means less targets for Bowers. So maybe not this year. Maybe he still gets 150 this year. But going forward, as they build that, I would be pretty shocked. I almost equate it to like Laporta. I don't know what the difference was for him, but people are like, oh, he fell off the map. Like, no, he didn't. They just had other players step up and like he was more efficient. He still scored touchdowns. Like he was doing all those things, but he just, he didn't have the smash year he had his rookie year because they had a healthier NFL offense. So I can see that happening with Bowers. And look, if that's a 20% reduction, he's still a stud. So I still think he's a top guy, no doubt. I think that if that ecosystem becomes healthier, he probably does less for us in fantasy from a volume standpoint.
I'm waiting to see if Rocky has any more.
Oh, no, I was waiting for you to chime in.
Okay. I would take Genty here. I agree with most of what Scott said, and I've kind of been on this train, is that I think anything better with that offense means Bowers isn't going to get just funneled targets. And I understand he was a great prospect and all that, but he is still a tight end, and tight ends don't matter. And he... is going to be very, very good. And there is something that, how do I put this? I don't totally believe in positional scarcity. I think if you tell me that someone like Malik Nabers is going to drop 400 points, I'm making this up, and Brock Bowers is going to drop 250 points, but at tight end, that's still 150 less points. So I think you can piece together tight end along the way and get, 75% of what you'd get for Bowers and get a lot more value back. So that's why I say tight ends don't matter, because I think you can kind of add them all together and just get a good season. The other one was, would you trade London and a 27 first for Nico Collins?
Ooh. No.
I think that's a lot for Nico.
No, I love like Nico. People seem to be like weirdly not, I wouldn't say panicking, but like nervous about Nico, and I don't understand that at all. So I've been able to pick up a couple of shares since the draft for whatever reason. I don't know if he became, you know, just went from maybe untradeable to now, you know, at least willing to listen, maybe, versus before it was like, you know, you weren't getting him for anything less than, you know, a crazy offer. But I don't know. I think that's kind of crazy. They drafted a couple guys. Okay, cool. They didn't have anyone else. So, right. I don't know. It's fine. I'm in on Nico, but London and that first, that just seems like too much.
Yeah, there was a discussion in the Cool Kids Club chat about this question, and I would fall on the side of the London the first. Just that just seems too much to add. But the question was more, I think, originally just like, what do you need to add to London? Or the other one was JSN to get to Nico. And some people were saying nothing. And that person even said London and JSN over Nico, which I strongly disagree with. But I do agree that a first at 20, even if it's 27, is too much to add.
Yeah. I would take Nico over both. I think JSN is closer. But I'm sorry, London's closer. London's higher than JSN in my head. But yeah, I still take Nico for both.
So maybe that's how this discussion came about, but I'm just looking at I was looking at DLF startup ADP today because that league blew up and we're going to be redrafting.
Yep.
So Nico is wide receiver 8, London is wide receiver 9, and JSN is wide receiver 10. Yep. You know, London and JSN both 23, Nico's 26 already. So having to add a first to either of those guys doesn't make much sense to me. I think they're all pretty close, obviously, according to that. So adding a first to get there is kind of wild. It's almost preference, to be honest. So if you want to do like a second on any one of those guys to get to any of the other guys, like, all that's probably still an overpay, but yep. But that's fine. But yeah, adding a first is too much.
Agreed.
Yep. Agreed. All right, moving on to Tone at Tony Perez 34 W's guy at social. He has a lot in here. It's kind of a lot of things all stacked up. So let's do it like this. Do you think you can buy low on Marvin Harrison Jr. and what does that look like? And then what does a bounce back season look like for him?
So no
season, I'll answer that second part, means they use him properly. And so that would
be a start. Does anyone have confidence that they will? Is that Drew Petzing? Is that guy? I mean, who even is that guy? Like, I don't, you know, what is his? I don't know, man. I'm so I understand you got to give guys a shot, and you know, their offense was pretty decent last year, but when you don't use a guy to his strengths, it just throws up red flags, you know, and that's hard for me to, you know, hopefully the guy figures it out and they get things rolling. But I don't know. I don't think there's a buy low opportunity because of what he costs to begin with. So a team likely had to spend, you know, the 102 or the 103 on him. And now you're gonna just turn around and flip him for what? I mean, what is even a buy low at this point? What does that cost look like? That would be my first question.
Yeah, I mean, I agree that there is no buy low. Going by that same ADP, he's still wide receiver 13, and it's not like he had an awful year last year. And I think that's the price people would want for him. You're not like Scott said, you drafted him super high and it's been 1 year and it's not like he just totally crashed out in that year. So I don't see why anybody who drafted him would be selling him low.
I'm just trying to think like who you can pivot off of him or off of to get to him. Like, it's a lot of dead air. I'm trying.
So, okay. I'll fill some of that while you're looking, because the thing is, if you are a Matt Waldman disciple and you follow everything he said, he couldn't have nailed Marvin Harrison Jr. more perfectly. I don't think he's ever nailed a player as much as he did last year with him. He still liked him. He had neighbors over him. But basically, he said he predicted exactly what happened, and that the way he was used and some of his limitations and some of the things that he does, and essentially still saying, like, yeah, long term, the guy's going to be a great like, there's nothing that's telling us the guy's not going to be a great receiver. But fantasy wise, maybe not so much early on. And I think part of that has to do with Kyler. Part of that has to do with the offense and Kyler's strengths of the best routes for Marvin Harrison Jr. Let's go to another Matt Harmon. Okay. If you look at the work that he does, and he's tracking all the routes that all the receivers do and what their best success rate is. So he did that in college. He does that for a rookie profile. And then he did that as a, as a first year receiver for Arizona. So the routes that MHA does best do not match up at all with the best throws that Kyler makes. Okay. The routes that Kyler throws best, it's not even close. You can go find the stats, look up Matt Harmon. He posts all about it, but it does make a lot of sense in why they're not necessarily using him in the right spot, but it's just because the strengths of your quarterback. Also, you can't just say like, okay, you're not good at throwing these routes, but throw these routes because that's what the receiver does. That doesn't really make sense. So I think that will ultimately be his limitation until they figure that out. I did pull up the DLF trade finder just to see what some of the recent trades were. Calvin Ridley in the 103 for MHA. I'll take Marvin there. Mm-hmm. Jonathan Taylor straight up for MHA. I'll take Harrison there. And then there was another one that was JT and a 26 second for Marvin Harrison Jr. So I'm still taking MHA there. So those trades, obviously, I think that is your buy low.
Yeah.
But it's not necessarily low. You're still giving up
Jonathan Taylor. Capital.
Yeah. I mean, it's, I don't think I'd do it.
Yeah.
I just don't think I would. I think I'd rather use those assets to go even higher. To go get somebody else. Let's go get somebody else. And
yep.
Even if I have to add to it.
Agreed. The two names I'm seeing on DLF ADP ahead of Marvin are JSN. Easily would take Marvin over JSN right now. And AJ Brown, which is harder, but I'd probably still take Marv because of age. So
agreed.
I think those are trades you can do to get out of him too. Would you guys rather have Marvin or Garrett Wilson? They're right next to each other.
Ooh.
Marvin.
Rocky doesn't like the Jets, though.
Man.
Yeah, well, who
does? Just because there's still hope for Marvin Harrison.
Yeah.
Garrett Wilson. I don't know. There's some highlight film of Fields throwing to Garrett Wilson at Ohio State going around right now.
So. Oh, God. Yeah, Fields.
So go sell your Garrett Wilson.
No, I still like Garrett quite a bit. Apparently a lot more than the market. But... Oof. I think I'll go Marv there still. It's close though.
Okay. His next question is, what backfields do you think go to a running back by committee this year with incoming rookies? For me, I think Denver is going to be more of a running back by committee than a bell cow running game. Cleveland. Probably.
Well, I should have looked at these questions before you asked.
Giants, Gadabo and Tracy.
Chargers, maybe.
Hampton.
All of them. The answer is all of them.
Anywhere there's a rookie running
back. I know. Really, 90% of them. Yeah. It's basically like Barkley and
Henry
and that's Jonathan pretty Taylor. Much it.
Jonathan, yeah, Taylor. Jonathan Taylor. I would still say it's bell cow.
I mean, if the Rams are still obsessed with Bijan,
Bijan.
Yeah, but even Bijan, Algier was playing a ton. Like, yeah. It just, I don't know. I mean, I think these guys are all really talented. So here's the difference from this year to any other year for me. This is the first class where I know all of these guys from C2C leagues, right? So not just like, okay, well, yeah, I've played in Devi leagues forever, so I know some of the names and, you know a little bit more about them, whatever. This is like, I studied these guys like 3 and 4 years ago. I watched them in college. They were on my C2C teams. Like, I've followed them more so than any other class ever. So I feel like I have more info, or at least a better understanding of the depth of the class and the strengths of the class and all the players within it. And the other thing is I consume a lot of content, and I consumed virtually zero fantasy content from the end of the season through the draft. All content was NFL content, like how these players fit schematically, you know, what their strengths are on the field. And then I'll translate that to fantasy. And I found some major discrepancies with a lot of the players, like hearing about, like, I don't even want to bring up his name because I'm just so sick of him, but like a guy like Shadur, the NFL told you they're not interested, and yet fantasy guys are like, I'm still using my second round pick on him. Like, okay, good luck with that. Do you remember Malik Willis? Do you remember Trey Lance? How did those work out? Like, so I just, I'm going to learn my lesson from those guys, and I'm going to do what the NFL is telling me. And I'm going to try to translate as much as I can from actually playing football to fantasy. And I love this running back class. I love the tight end class as well. And I think there's so many players in this class that maybe are not going to be elite. They're not going to be top 8 or top 10 or even RB1s, but there's so many guys that are going to contribute that it's going to force them onto the field. And we're going to get that RBBC virtually all year and for the next few years, especially with this class of, you know, 2 years ago was like the resurgence, right? All these guys got contracts and they got signed. Look what Barkley did and look what Henry did and look at all that. Those guys are all going to be gone in the next 2 or 3 years, regardless of what happens. And this class is just going to be taking over and forcing themselves onto the field. So I think we're going to see more than ever. I think we're going to see more than ever this year, running back by committee. That's my prediction for this season.
I don't think I can add anything to that. I think he covered it pretty well. Yeah. The one thing I'll say is I'm just picturing like Mel Kiper's wife putting him in a soundproof room in his house somewhere, just like, and he's just yelling at clouds at about Shadur still.
He loved Levis too, so that counts for something. Just,
that works well.
Yeah.
Yeah, he thought... Oh man, now I'm in a blank. Oh, he said he'd retire if Jimmy Clausen wasn't like quarterback.
Yes.
Kiper's lost it for a long time.
Yeah.
Who do you think finishes as tight end one out of the rookies? We can do this quickly if everyone just has a name.
Yeah, Loveland.
Loveland for me too.
Yeah, I think so. Just because that quarterback situation is so bad with the Colts. So
yeah. No, Elijah Arroyo or
I don't love how many weapons there are, you know, potential weapons there are in, you know, with Rome and Burden. Well, I mean, for a loved one specifically, it's good for Caleb and for you as a Bears fan. But it's just the quality of passes coming from Anthony Richardson and Daniel Jones is so bad that I can't pick Warren.
Yeah. I guess Mason Taylor, you could throw him in the art, you know, you could make an argument for him if he gets volume. But
Ferguson is kind of a sneaky one that everyone keeps talking about on the Rams.
Yeah.
That's an McVay thing, not a Ferguson thing.
He's right. He's limited in what he can do. So he can be explosive and have big plays, and he'll be like the wow factor guy. Like if we look back after the season, like who had the best plays, it might be Ferguson, but who have the most fantasy production, I'd be shocked if it was him.
I feel bad for all the Elijah Arroyo lovers, because that had to be like the worst spot he could have gone of anywhere. So
yeah, it kind of sucks though. So I think and Fannin too. That's the thing. Fannin and Arroyo I see as similar. Like I'm glad to take those guys if they're falling further, because everybody wants to get in on the Taylor and Ferguson. But Fannin, I think he's kind of weird. Like he's always like falling down. I don't know if you ever noticed that. Like if you watch tape, he's like always like he's running, like he's always falling down. That's the only way I can explain it. But he's the kind of guy that could that can come in and be sneaky if they can figure out a quarterback situation there. But probably not this year with Njoku.
Yeah. All right, Scott. Judgment Day.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you want to read it or you want me to read it?
You can read it.
Okay. It's from Tommy Blair at FF Tommy B. First off, he says Scott and that he misses you, which is great.
Yay. I love you, Tommy B.
And then he says, where are the portfolio plays this non-point scoring season? And which arriving OC are you most bullish on? And we'll get to barbecue in a second.
Okay. So, I mean, I think everybody's answer for the OC on most bullish. I mean, Ben Johnson's not really the OC. He's the head coach. But because I'm a Bears fan and because I know what this horrible, horrible franchise does, I know that they're going to somehow find a way to screw all that up. So I'm not going to say that. Dude, and plus, he's not technically the OC. As an aside, I had hope with the Queen finally kicking off that they may sell the team.
We have a Pope now.
The only thing maybe we'll have some divine intervention. But here's the deal, and this is all I could say about this, but basically not the McCaskey that runs the team looks like a penis, but his brother, okay, that guy, he dated and was engaged to one of my friend's moms for many years, and he cheated and he's a piece of whatever, and so they're no longer together. But the information that I gained from all that knowledge essentially is that they will never sell, and there's no number and there's nothing that could ever change that. So at this point, I do pray for the Pope and divine intervention because we need new owners, but it does not look like there's any hope at all as far as that goes. Okay, so
it's 2035, baby. Here we go.
Yeah, let's go. Tommy B. Okay, OC. I mentioned Chip Kelly earlier, which I think could be good because of that. You know, it's a narrow tree, so I think we know what we're getting there. I also like Seattle, Clint Kubiak. Okay, because we know who Clint is, we know the system he runs, we know what he's gonna do. You know, I don't know how that situation is gonna. I think Sam Darnold might turn back into a pumpkin, right? Like, very, very likely. However, I do very much like Jalen Milroe, and I think that could be. I don't know necessarily that I'm the most bullish on that one out of all of them, but I think that's a sneaky one to keep an eye on for some of the talent that they have. They're rebuilding that O-line. They've got all the running backs at this point. And you know, I don't know what they're going to do having all the slot receivers at this point, but I do like Torrey Horton. So we'll see what happens there. I like the scheme. I like the pieces. I like what Clint Kubiak brings. So that's going to be my pick for OC. Again, more sneaky than bullish, but I seem to be higher on most of those pieces than the market. So I guess in a way you could say I'm bullish there. What are the portfolio plays? Well, I think this is one of those things where if I can go back to a few minutes ago when I was talking about the classes and really honing in on running backs and tight ends, there's like a small group of receivers, like end of the first, early second, that, you know, I'm okay with having a few shares of those guys. But I have drafted more running backs and tight ends than I can ever remember. I have several drafts where I had six picks and they're all running backs. And I have no problem doing that from a roster build standpoint, but it makes even more sense from a talent standpoint this year. So for me, and where the most gain in my portfolio has come so far, I still have quite a few drafts to go. Actually, I think I still have about 10 drafts to go. It's the running back and the tight end position. I think this tight end group is going to be, they're going to be very relevant over the next few years. And so that's kind of the spot where in all these 1.75 or 2 point PPR leagues, that's what I've been hitting. Big time smashing tight end, smashing running back, and just adding all those pieces there for tight ends for the long term, running back for the short term. You know, running backs we can flip, we can play, whatever we need to do there, and then building that for the future. So those are really the spots that I'm smashing. And then from a non-rookie draft standpoint, targeting all the, I think, what does Scott Connor call it? The, it used to be any RB on a 53. Now it's any QB on, I don't know, any QB on a two deep. I don't know. Well, I don't know what he calls it, but basically the backup quarterback approach to say like, okay, I'm in a 14 team league. I've got two starters. What do I do now? It's so hard to get a third, and you don't want to spend resources on a third because you're going to weaken your lineup somewhere else. So why would you do that? So getting those backup quarterbacks and loading up on those guys and honing in on that, as kind of using them as your collective QB three. That's probably the biggest, thing that I've focused on from a non-rookie standpoint for portfolio this year.
Rocky, I don't think we're going to know portfolio plays very well, but do you have an OC you're excited for?
Oh, I didn't know it's me asked this question, but, but I, if I can cheat a little bit, because technically he's not an OC, but I was going to cheat and do the obvious one of Ben Johnson.
Okay.
In Chicago.
Yeah.
Why is Scott shaking his head?
Because he's a Bears hater.
That's
he's a Bears fan at the same time.
That's cheating. I thought you were going to say Jacksonville because Cohen's the coach.
That's what I was. Yeah. It's Jacksonville.
Yeah.
The other one I was going to say is Tanner Engstrom in New York, yes, to hopefully fix Justin Fields. All right, yes. Barbecue questions to close it out. So my question this week was, we're getting into barbecue season, although it's like 45 freaking degrees in Chicago today. What the hell, Chicago? Warm up.
Got my thick hoodie on
today. I know, it's
that's
crazy.
How cold it was.
So I said, what's your favorite thing to grill or to eat or whatever? Rocky, I know you hate my food questions. I thought it would still be kind of like every man enough where you were going to have something that you like here. Even if it's a hot dog.
Yeah. I mean, to say mac hamburgers and hot dog, that's basically what I eat anyway. So
yeah.
I do love a grilled hot dog. Like, I love the burned, charred hot dog much more than, like, you know, making it in a pot or even in the microwave or whatever. Like, I love that grilled charred part of it. So I'll go with the hot dog.
Okay. Some of the other answers here. Jonathan Smith said he loves a good brisket. Tommy said also barbecue is a food down here, not an activity. I don't know what that means. It's very sounds daunting, though. And then Andrew Hall, another former junkie, said, love grilling burgers, but I love eating barbecue ribs when someone else does all the work. I agree with that. Scott, do you have a barbecue of choice?
So I lived in Texas for a few years, and I think I have some idea of what Tommy is talking about, because it is like a whole, like a culture down there. And it is still the best barbecue I've ever had in my life, and I miss it. But for me, I think I would say burnt ends has got to be like one of the, you know, like pork butt and burnt ends, like just the stuff that people don't typically want, but it's the most delicious. I mean, everybody loves burgers and barbecue chicken and ribs and all that, right? Like, I mean, who doesn't? But Rocky, you got to get into like the brisket, the burnt ends, the pork butt. Like, that's, come on, man. That's all the flavor, you know, low and slow, hours of cooking, overnight cooking, smoking, you know, let's get it.
I don't think there is bad barbecue personally, but if I wanted to get weird and different, I would say peaches on the grill is awesome. Like any kind of tropical fruit like that is good. But my favorite would probably be ribs if someone else were making them. I'm with Andrew on that. And then John McGlynn said, I want to play as a comment. I don't know what that meant. Me too, pal. Me too. So that's going to be the end of our show sheet. So that's going to be the end of our show. Thanks for coming back, Scott. It's good to see you. We appreciate you always coming back and dropping some knowledge. Why don't you remind everyone who you are, what you do, and where they can find what you do?
Yeah, thanks for having me, guys. It's funny because I was talking to Rocky the other day. We're getting all of our Junkies listener leagues filled up and fired up. And I was like, I should tell him I'm ready to do a TA. And I got a text the other day. He's like, hey, by the way, you want to come on TA this week? And I was like, yeah, I do, actually. That's perfect. So happy to do it anytime. I'm glad my Tuesday nights are a little bit less crazy these days. So look forward to being back on again at some point. Thanks for having me at @Scott_Sidlow on Twitter. And if I'm not in a league with you yet, your time is coming.
I was actually talking to Tommy on the side, and an idea I was having, I haven't said it to him or any of y'all yet. I'm going to say it live on the air, so you have to do it. I'm getting married in the back end of the year, so maybe y'all do a full-on Junkies takeover.
Yes.
Together.
There you go.
Yes. Something to think about. But our stuff, patreon.com/trayxpod. You can watch us while we record. You can see my bright new white prison room/kitchen I'm sitting in. I'll have a better background next week. We also have our Discord chat, the Cool Kids Club. Lots going on in there, obviously talking trades, as you heard tonight. I am Frank Neal at Frank in the Chat, Twitter and Blue Sky. Rocky Petrella is at Dynasty FF, Twitter and Blue Sky. And on the Fantasy Cares front, the merch is out. So if you want an excellent Utah Jazz SFB 15 shirt or any other shirt like that, go check out the merch. And then race days are back every Friday. Russ is on the call. John Bosch is putting in everyone in lots of weird and wacky ways. And as Russ Fisher always used to tell us, if you have a trading problem, you're never alone. Good night, everybody.
Thank you for listening to the Trade Addict Podcast, a member of the DLF family of podcasts, and a proud member in the Dynasty Addict Podcast Network. Please follow your hosts at Dynasty Haha and at Dynasty FF Addict. Please subscribe, rate, and review. We will catch you next time on the Trade Addict Podcast. Poopy fans, that is the best. See ya.